I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. There's much to learn about these things, about walking by faith, living by faith, being an overcomer, more than a conqueror. And the reason we have Faith School is to have a place where we can come and come back and come back and come back again and get fed. Jesus said this in Matthew 4:4. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Job talked about this, said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And most people don't think that way. They do not put hearing the word as a higher priority than eating. But you should. Because a weak spirit messes up everything. If you weaken your spirit, the smallest issues are overwhelming to you. You just give up at the drop of a hat. You won't even try. You're just defeated before you start. Hopeless. Helpless. That's not the new creation God made you to be. He made us to be strong. And the spirit he has given us to live inside us is the greater one. Somebody said out loud, the greater one.
The greater one.
Lives inside me.
Lives inside me.
He makes me strong.
He makes me strong.
I am an overcomer.
I am an overcomer.
More than a conqueror.
More than a conqueror.
Through Christ Jesus.
Through Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. And when we talk about your spirit being fed, see, just hearing that just now, you need to hear it.
Right.
I need to hear it.
Yes.
We all need to hear it.
Yes.
We'll need to hear it again later.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that's why we have Faith School. Father, all of us agree together as touching this, asking for the utterance, the anointing, the quickening of your spirit to see not men's confusion and man's religious concepts, but to see the reality of you, your truth, your good and right ways and perfect plan and goodwill. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We've been for some weeks now on the series that we're calling Faith for Provision. Every day of our lives, we need provision. Something to eat, something to wear, a place to stay, a way to go. And if you have, things going on, a family, you need more. If you have a church or a ministry or a business, you need resources. And if you're not sure God wants you to have them, you can't have faith for it. And if you are not sure, and maybe, entertaining the idea God might have a purpose in you losing and being without and experiencing lack and hard times, then you'll have no faith to resist that or stand against it, and you'll have no faith to overcome it. Like one person said, faith begins where the will of God is known. Another way of saying faith comes by hearing. Ephesians says, don't be unwise, don't be foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Romans says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you can prove What is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God? So you don't just wake up and see what happens and go, well, that must be the will of God. Elsewise, why are we told, find the will of God? Get renewed in your mind so you know the will of God. No, if everything that happens is the will of God, that requires no effort from me or you to find the will of God. No, the enemy will lie to you. If you don't know the truth, you're easily deceived. But the Word of God reveals the will of God that never changes for everyone. And so that's why he talks about that. Search the Scriptures and to, you know, find out His will through His Word. So we've been given one by one 30 reasons, truths from the Word with multiple Scriptures for each one. Why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Said out loud, abundant provision.
Abundant provision
is always,
God's will,
for us all.
Abundant provision,
is always, God's will,
for me.
Today, said out loud, I call every bill paid.
I call every need met.
I call every debt,
every obligation
fulfilled.
Paid off.
Paid in full.
Amen.
Is that God's will?
Yes.
It is God's will. But you need to be persuaded of it for yourself, not just because I said it or we said it. And if your faith is in the Word and we give you reason after reason after reason, at some point you should go, yeah, that's what He said, right?
Right.
And so we started number one with the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack. And we've gone one by one through reasons till we're down to number 16 today in our study. That we're sure abundant provisions always God's will for us all because of the promised land. God's will in the promised land. If you read the Scriptures very far, you're going to come across some reference to Canaan land, promised land, land that flows with milk and honey. What's that about? If it was just God's will for that group, for that time, it wouldn't be in the Scriptures for all generations. And it wouldn't be mentioned, you know, scores of times. This is eternal truth. It was, it is, it will be God's will. And it is a graphic portrayal of redemption in Christ. Now, we saw that the Lord told them, starting with Abraham, the reason it was promised land is because God made a promise to Abram that He was giving this land to him and his descendants after him. And several generations did not see and experience that. But then finally, even though they were slaves, God delivered them from Egyptian bondage and intended to bring them quickly into the promised land. The first generation did not believe Him, would not listen to Him. They didn't get to experience it, but the next generation did. And all of this is revelation. One thing you'll see is that just because something is the will of God, that does not mean you will enjoy it. Right? That first generation, none of them enjoyed it, except Joshua, right? And Caleb. Why? Because they believed God when nobody else would. They trusted God, and they lived, they outlived their contemporaries, and they saw the promised land. And they went in, and they enjoyed it in their old age. Don't quit. Don't give up on the plan of God. Don't think you're too old. Don't believe lies. But you cannot go by what the majority are doing. Because the vast majority of these hundreds of thousands of other people, contemporaries with Joshua and Caleb, they never saw the promised land. They heard about it from the spies that went in. They never saw it, and they never enjoyed it. Now that is too sad, right? That a really good thing is God's will and plan for your life, and you live and die and never enjoy it. Can that happen?
Yes.
It happened to them,
yes.
Right?
Right?
It's happening today. If you won't believe, you won't experience the goodness of God in the land of the living. And that's one of the reasons we have faith school. Because
yes.
We don't want to lose any of our, right? We don't want to miss out on anything that God has for us. There is a manward side, not just all up to God. There's a manward side to these things. We must believe. We must trust. We must obey.
Yes.
And when He gives you something, we must possess.
Yes. Amen.
Takes faith.
Yes, it does.
So go with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. We saw the Lord refer to the good land, the promised land, the pleasant land, the land that flows with milk and honey. In Ezekiel, referring back to it, he said, I have espied for you this good land that flows with milk and honey. It is the glory of all lands. Handpicked by God Himself,
yes.
A place for His people. Does He still do that kind of thing?
Yes.
Does He?
Yes.
He does. He has specific things for you.
Yes.
He does.
Amen.
For you, for me, places to go, things to have, things to enjoy. Many people just simply do not believe He's that good. But He is.
Yes.
I said He is.
Yes.
And for those that'll believe it and receive it,
yes.
And obey,
yes.
You'll experience it.
Yes.
I like what the psalmist said. He said, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see,
yes,
the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So you say it out loud. I won't faint.
I won't faint.
I won't give up.
I won't give up.
I am believing.
I am believing.
I will see.
I will see
the goodness of the Lord.
The goodness of the Lord
in this life.
In this life.
In the land of the living.
In the land of the living.
Amen. Deuteronomy 6:1. He said, now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes and commandments that I command you, you, your son, your son's son, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Did you know that long life is God's will?
Yes,
for us all?
Yes.
For us all. People say, well, what about these people that are dying young? Not the perfect will of God.
Right.
Not the perfect will of God. Now, the exception could be a martyr, but that's somebody who was obeying God.
Right.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
But dying young, dying middle age from an accident, a crime, a sickness, never the will of God. Are y'all with me, class?
Yes, sir.
Never the perfect will of God. Now, if the person was born again, they went straight to be with the Lord.
Yes.
They're saved, but they were robbed of years that they could have had,
mm-hmm,
in this life, should have had. There's a lot of people who are robbed. They don't live out their full length of days. You know, the psalmist said, he said, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. Hmm? Doesn't pay to be violent and all that kind of stuff. You know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword.
Yeah.
That's not God's perfect will. But the Bible talks about that listening to Him and obeying Him and following His wisdom, His plan, will add days and add years to your life. The Scripture teaches that there are some things you can do that'll shorten your life, and there's some things you can do that will extend your life and lengthen your days. And I like what it says in Job. It said, you'll come to your grave in a full old age, like as a shock of corn in his season. Right?
Yes.
And the Bible talks about the patriarchs that one said, let me die the death of the righteous, yes, and let my last end be like his. Yes. There are wrong ways to die,
yes,
and wrong times to die,
yes,
and there's right ways to die,
yes,
and a right time. And that time is not 3 o'clock on a Thursday. It's a season.
Yes.
I said it's a season. Where you are aged and satisfied, you've done everything that you were put down here to do, and with long life, He has satisfied you. I met somebody in our church here just a day or so ago, and they're in their 90s, and they had had a bit of a battle with a physical thing, and according to reports, should have been dead a few years ago. But they keep overcoming, and they keep staying around. And he was looking at me, and he was saying, I'm not going to go till me and God get good and ready for me, for me to go. And I said, amen.
Yes.
You ought to say that out loud.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Say it out loud. I'm not leaving here.
I'm not leaving here.
I'm not dying early.
I'm not dying early.
I'm not leaving.
I'm not leaving.
To God and me.
To God and me.
Get good and ready for me to go.
Get good and ready for me to go.
Yeah. Now if people say, well, you don't have any choice in that. You know, it's appointed unto man a time to die. And when your time comes, you're going. You're misquoting Scripture. And you don't know what you're talking about. No. It says it's appointed unto man once. Once to die, not a time, once. And we already gave you three or four scriptures. The things you can do can shorten your life, things you can do that will extend your life. And a good passage on this is in Philippians, where Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I got a desire to depart and be with Christ, but what I will choose, I don't know. To stay with you is more needful, he said. Well, what do you mean? What you're going to choose? Paul, don't you know that it's appointed unto you a time, and when your time apparently he didn't know that. And what's bigger is the Holy Spirit speaking through him didn't know that. So, Now, he's saying, which do I choose? Do I go, be with the Lord, or do I stay and have some more ministry and help you? And as he's writing, he decides, I need to stay. But he stopped and said, you need help. You need these Philippians, you need help. I got to stay. I can't leave right now. You need too much help. But what I shall choose, if you'll walk with the Lord and listen to him. I know my own dad, my earthly father, who's in heaven now, but this has been back, I don't know, 25 years or something like that ago. He stepped out of his house into his carport one day, and massive heart attack just hit him, and he said he was crumbling and falling to the ground, and he's a man that knew God and walked with God. He said he's where he's not even aware of his natural surroundings. He knows he's leaving his body. And later on, when they examined him, they found out it should have killed him. I mean, it was terribly, what they called a massive heart attack. And so he said, Lord, is it time for me to go? And the Lord said, no. No. But see, he could have went. But is it time for me to go? He had enough awareness of the things of God to know what we're talking about. It's not all predetermined. It's not all set in stone. The enemy is a thief. He's a killer. He's a destroyer, right? And he will try to take you out early if he can, through a so-called accident, incident, disease, crime, whatever it is. And he said, Lord, is it time for me to go? The Lord said, no. No, it's not time. So he began to fight. He began to fight and resist to stay. And lo and behold, he didn't die. And he fully recovered. And he lived for, I don't know, what, 10, 15 years? And had a lot of good things happen. Hallelujah. So these are things that you don't need to wait until you're in a situation to be asking questions. Just assuming, I should say, and questioning whether it's God's will for you to have a long life or not. It is. And part of what he's saying to them that was connected, like we said, to this promised land, is their days would be prolonged. Say it out loud. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For fulfilling my days.
For fulfilling my days.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, and you may increase mightily, as the Lord God your fathers has promised you, in the land that flows with milk and honey. It used to be that God wanted you to live in a good place, and he wanted you to live a long time, and wanted you it to be well with you, and you increase mightily. When did he change that? Huh? Is he a respecter of persons? Some he wants that for, but not for everybody. Mm-mm. He's never changed. Men have changed. Religion has changed, not God. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Hallelujah. We need to make the main thing the main thing. And that's the main thing. Skip down to verse 9. He talked about the Lord's words and statutes and ordinances. Write them on the post of your house and on your gates. This is a good thing for you to do today. Hang up scriptures in your house.
Yes.
Come on, are y'all with me?
Yes.
Put the word on things. It's right. It's always right. And he said, and it shall be when the Lord your God shall have brought you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Now that's where the promised land comes in. He said he swore to them. He gave them his promise to give them this. When the Lord has brought you into the land to give you great and goodly cities which you builded not, and houses full of all good things that you filled not, which you filled not, and wells dig, which you digged not, vineyards and olive trees, which you planted not. Now, man, that's the best way to get them.
Yeah.
That's just, right? Because, I mean, a good vineyard can take years, right? A good orchard can take years, many years to fully develop and to build a really good house. It could take years. I mean, it could, especially back then. And, all of these things, instead of you starting from scratch. You know, God used to be like this. Right? This was his plan for his people. When did he change? He said, I am the Lord. I don't change. I change not. No. He didn't. God didn't go a few centuries or a millennia and go, I'm going to change this up. I thought that was a good idea, but I'm changing. No. He was right from the beginning. He never changes. Cities, whole cities, you didn't even build. With all the infrastructure. Now, you'll remember there are scriptures that talk about the wealth of the sinner.
Yes.
right? Yes. Being laid up for the just, and about how about ungodly people laboring, and those that are righteous and those that have pity on the poor coming in and using that for good. God's always been this way. And He's fair, and He's good, and He's right. And if you say, well, what about the people that were there, and the people that built it, and the people that did about all that? He gave them 400 years to get their act together and repent, huh? Yeah. And put away their false gods and come to Him. Now, that's plenty of time,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
To make up your mind. And when they did not, there came a point where their iniquity was full and judgment came. And the Lord knew that was going to happen. But houses you didn't build, filled. Is that right? You didn't have to pick it out. You didn't have to order it. It didn't have to get it shipped. You just got your little underwear in a bag and you moved in. You came in and said, I'm home.
Yes.
Chairs, couches, beds, pictures, sculptures,
yes.
Drapes, carpets, rugs, huh? Pantries, dishes.
Yes.
Is this God?
Yes.
Is this Him?
Yes.
Is He still this way?
Yes.
My wife Phyllis and I, we have personal testimonies of this very thing happening to us more than once. Yes, He's still this way.
Yes,
yes He is. If you'll believe Him, somebody say it out loud, Lord, I believe You.
Lord, I believe You.
You are the good God.
You are good God.
The same good God.
Same good God.
Giver of the promised land.
Giver of the promised land.
Giver of houses.
Giver of houses.
Filled with good things.
Vineyards.
Orchards.
Wells.
Blessings.
Plenty.
You are.
The God
who meets all my needs. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, our time's up again. Say it like we do. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith. Say it again. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. We're getting it. We're getting it. The doubt is going out. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.